We're going to give a minute approval. I suggest maybe if you want to suggest that we stay in open session or something, that you make an emotion to that effect.
I just move we postpone that executive session until our continuation meeting. And let's stay in open session long enough to get some things done.
Point of order.
Hold on. First, let me see if there's a second. We'll take the point of order. Was there a second? Thank you. Okay, who's the point of order?
Carolyn here. I would ask that the chair not allow the member to interrupt with questions that are not on the agenda. The order of the day has been called. The next item is approval of the minutes, and if we could get on with that and not discuss when or whether this meeting will be over, we would do ourselves a little bit of good. So may I ask that we just continue with the orders of the day and approve the minutes? I would like to move the approval of the minutes.
Second.
Okay, who is the second, please?
Janet.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes for June 27th, 2013, July 11th, 2013, July 25th, 2013, and August 8th, 2013?
Madam Chair, did we approve the agenda?
Yes.
I've asked if there was any objection to approving the agenda, and no one objected.
Okay.
So I'm presuming that it has been approved. Okay. Is there any objection to the minutes?
I just wanted to abstain, thanks.
Did we ever adopt that standing rule that says we don't have to automatically...
Let's call the question and go.
Yeah, just call a question. I'm going to vote no. This is Lydia.
Okay, yeah. Then go ahead. Call the roll, please, Richard. Thank you.
Okay, Edward Steger.
Are we set at a time or all four en masse?
All four. We're on minutes, so we can require two-thirds to extend time. Go ahead. Anyway.
In abstention.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm out of order, but point of clarification.
This is not a discussion. Let's vote on this.
Call the order. Call the roll.
Edward Steger.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. If someone's asked for clarification before you even call the roll, let me find it.
I just want to know what are we voting on. I couldn't hear it.
It's minutes, Benito. It's four sets of minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Edward Steger.
Abstain.
Thank you. Rosenberg.
Yes, on the minutes.
Yes, thank you. Siegel. Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson.
Abstain.
Abstain, thank you. Diaz.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. King.
Abstain.
Abstain, thank you. Norman.
Abstain,
thank you. Stitt, Takia, did you make it? Brisson?
No.
No, thank you. Crumcho?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Adina? Can't hear you, Brenda. Alan?
Alan says yes.
Yes, thank you. Molinar. Hinchel.
Hinchel says yes.
What was that?
That was a yes.
Yes, thank you. Giselle, yes, thank you. Brent, Burton.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Coleman.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Robert.
Abstain.
Abstain, thank you. Saba.
Abstain.
Abstain, thank you. Gray.
Richard, I need to abstain. I couldn't attend two of the meetings.
Abstain, yeah.
So.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, were you able to hear my vote? Hello?
We can hear you, Brenda.
Although 8-1-7.
Brenda was trying to vote.
8-1-7 is the vote.
Hello?
817 is the vote. We've already counted, Brenda. 817 is the vote. Madam Chair.
Summer's still on the call?
I'm sorry, I'm here. I was muted. I'm sorry. Repeat the vote, Richard.
817 is the vote.
817, the minutes are approved. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Wow, IED report. So I guess I'm going to keep it really brief, and if someone is going
Madam Chair, I would like to move that we adjourn.
What? Stop it, Richard.
I second that.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn from public session.
I second.
To go to closed session. I hear you, Lizette. I hear you. Thank you. Is there any objection to adjourning?
Yes.
Okay.
According to Alan, I object. I think we need to get the personnel motion passed.
Is there any...
We have 2 minutes left.
I move that we add another half an hour to the open session then.
Wait a minute. Excuse me, point of clarification.
Yes, go ahead.
I thought, Summer, that we voted a little, I don't know, 5-10 minutes ago to suspend or, postpone the executive session so that we could conduct business?
No.
We did not?
No.
If not, Brian had asked about that, and he was asking whether I
made a motion.
Right, and I seconded it, and I thought we voted, and no one objected.
No, we did not.
The chair did not call a vote on it.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Point of order.
Stop.
Point of order.
Yes, go ahead.
Look, this is silly. I mean, we've been doing an agenda now for 2 hours, then we're going to adjourn? I mean, come on.
That's right. Exactly.
Can we not do this to ourselves because it doesn't make any sense.
We're at the end of our meeting.
It doesn't matter, Richard. We can keep meeting and get some stuff done. It doesn't matter. We're making up this 7:30 stuff. It's not real.
It is
so can we just
real.
Get through a couple of motions so there's...
No,
the
meeting is done.
We have reports.
The meeting is done.
Folks, this is insane. I don't know what's going on.
What is wrong with you people? I mean, really.
It's harder than normal.
What's wrong with you guys?
Folks, everybody, just stop. There's one of two ways we're going to go right now, okay? Brian was trying to...
My motion is to postpone the executive session until our continuation meeting and continue in public session.
I object.
Well, I seconded this, Benito. I second the motion.
On the floor. You have a motion to adjourn on the floor.
That's right.
And this is a substitute. I'm going to let people decide whether they want to spend another hour in open or close. I don't care. It's taken us 2 hours to get through an agenda setting. I've never seen anything like it in my life. So we're just going to take a vote. All right, and whichever one wins, and I'm going to do it by majority rule because he did try to make a motion to postpone the closed session until next meeting while we were still dealing with the agenda approval. We're either going to stay here or not. Whichever way it goes, it's just how it goes. Let's get something done in one of these places.
Thank
My
you.
My goodness.
Point of information. Point of information.
Yes.
Madam Chair, wouldn't it not be prudent to at least go into executive session in case there is something that needs to be discussed in executive session? I hate to just postpone for 2 weeks.
Prudent?
I just don't know what to say anymore. And one can split the proverbial baby and do, but we've got nothing done in open session at all. Okay, I'm going to take Ryan as a substitute, okay?
As was the plan.
Okay. One little point of order here is actually important.
Point of order.
There's no such thing as going into executive session for the purposes of prudence. Executive session is done because we have things to talk about on an agenda that require executive session.
That's right.
If there's nothing on the agenda that requires an executive session tonight, there should be no executive session held.
Right.
Okay? So that's just basic parliamentary stuff.
Okay, thank you. So here are our choices. I'm going to treat Brian's motion as a substitute. If you want to stay in open session for the next hour, then you vote yes, okay, on postponing executive session. It's not even postponing. It's just not having an executive session tonight, okay? Staying in open session tonight, and we'll do executive session on the next meeting in 2 weeks, the continuation meeting. So if you support that, then vote yes. If you don't, then vote no, in which case we would default to Richard's motion to adjourn, and we would just adjourn, okay? And that way we just take one vote here. So you want to stay in open session, you vote yes. If you want to go to closed session, you vote no. It's that simple, okay? So, Mr. Secretary, because you don't have to vote on taking an adjournment, we're at 7:30, so if staying in open session fails, we'll go to closed session, okay? So, Mr. Secretary, please call the roll. So, yes to stay in open session, no to go to closed session, okay? Thank you.
Frank, can you tell me what that motion of yours was again?
What?
I'm serious.
The motion.
Yeah,
the motion is to postpone executive session until our continuation meeting and to stay in open session tonight.
Okay. Rosenberg?
Yes, to stay in open session.
Yes. Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
Yes.
Yes. King?
No.
No. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Skid? Razan?
Yes.
Yes. Frumcho? Can't hear you, John. Medina?
Yes.
Who is that?
Frumcho, yes.
Yes. Medina?
Medina says...
Is that a yes? I think
that
was a yes.
Yeah, it's a yes with a Y.
Okay, yes. Alan?
Yes.
Yes. Polinar? Can't hear you, Jessica. Mitchell?
Hell no.
No. Giselle, no. Burton?
No.
No. Coleman?
No.
No. Robert?
Yes.
Yes. Baba?
No.
No.
I could abstain. I abstain.
You're going to abstain. Okay. Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Plain you, it's not you. Eleven, 5-1. It's a vote.
Okay, thank you. So 11-5-1, we stay in open session for the next hour. Okay, thank you, Mr. Secretary. Okay, so e-report. I'm going to keep this short, and Lee, we can keep the questions short, and then we can go to the CFO report and get to a few of these motions would be really good. At a meeting 2 weeks ago, I was going in for final union negotiations the next day, which I did. As you all know, we laid off 19 people, and I went on the air to let people know that. I hired an interim PD for New York. We worked for 4 days putting together new programming grids so that we would have coverage for the hours that had been taken away by the layoffs of paid staff. I've been working with the union and with the CFO and with our office staff here in terms of calculating vacation, severance, and the various obligations that the foundation has to the laid-off employees, dealing with health care benefits and attempts to mitigate some of the impact on our staff. So all that is still underway. We're getting to work with the union on those issues. As you know, there have been a couple of New York Times articles. Benito asked about that. I guess when we do Q&A, you can ask me any specific questions. I was asked certain questions on the air following the union negotiations, which is what brought up the Democracy Now! Debt on our books and governance structure, and both of those were also asked about by the New York Times, and obviously they spoke to other people as well.
in addition to dealing with WBI, we're still you know, dealing with some of the structural issues of even, you know, spreading out our board ops and keeping everything up on the air. So I may have to make some additional adjustments to schedule and staffing, et cetera, just on a practical basis to make sure that we have sustainable staffing levels to keep the station operating. But so far it has at least been, you know, we had programming ready to go up, and it has continued apace, and the station is functioning, and will continue to need, you know, a great deal of attention in the coming months. And things are moving along with the building as well, things that I can't discuss on the open session call, but nothing that anyone has to make a decision on tonight. But in terms of dealing with the building and working on consolidating, you know, our studio space and seeing what's feasible there to bring down our operating costs and to make it a more functional situation for the producers, because there has been a lot of consternation over being spread out over two locations at WBAI. So we're working diligently towards addressing that so that hopefully we can bring it together under one roof in the near future. And I'll bring you more details on that at our next meeting in 2 weeks. In terms of, we've been dealing with the audit and the tax return and CPB, the they're making certain corrections to that, and I'll let Rebel address that during CFO report, but we did file the return. A draft audit has been circulated to the audit committee, and hopefully we are committed to seeing to it that we are able to get everything filed in that regard next week, and hopefully we'll see our CPB funds in the not-too-distant future after that, which will be very helpful to us. The Pacifica Radio Archives successfully held a fundraising day 2 days ago that was necessitated by the shortfall in anticipated central services payments from the two East Coast stations, WPFW and WBAI, which have not been able to make those obligations, and to help to address that deficiency. We had one day of national fundraising to support the activities of the archives, and it was relatively successful for the amount of pre-production time that was put into it. It raised $65,000 in pledges. Of course, fulfillment will be a little bit less than that, but it was a good day for a very short time cycle of planning and execution, and we had cooperation from all of our stations. We have certain programming going forward. We're working with having some coverage on the 50th anniversary of the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech coming out of Washington, D.C., and so we're coordinating with one of our hosts who's from Los Angeles and will be in D.C. for that to give us some coverage on that event. And also looking forward at some other national specials as we move forward, dealing with the anniversary of JFK's assassination and some of the other things that are in the news cycle in terms of NSA. So I'll bring you more on that as we go forward. But we had another successful, you know, five station fundraiser day this week. And I guess I'll stop there because, you know, I can go on with many, many other things that we are dealing with. And, you know, but I think we've spent such a long time this evening getting to where we're at that we should try to get through a few things. So if there are questions, I'll take them. Go ahead, please. Zach?
Benito.
Yeah, Janet has a question.
Margie wants to be on the stack.
Thank you. Benito, Janet, Margie. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Benito.
Okay, I have a series of questions, and I don't know if it's fair to ask them all at the same time.
Sure.
So however you think, you know, makes sense. But I'll start with BAI. I also have two questions about the network in general and about PFW. But with regard to BAI, I'm wondering why, first of all, and I don't know the legalities of this, but why replace the local programming with network programming? And I asked the question, I know that folks just got laid off, and I don't know if it's fair or legal to ask them or anyone or any other local programmers to take up the slack and do volunteer programming. In other words, for instance, at PFW, to be concrete, PFW does not have paid programmers. And I'm certainly, I feel very torn in terms of trying to suggest that what was a union job now become a volunteer job, you know. But I'm asking, was that considered, and what does the union think about that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Because I am very concerned about the replacement.
Benito, your time is up.
Okay, well, that's the first question. I guess I'll have to come back.
Well, let me quickly try to answer that, Benito. Some of these are just practical matters with the amount of time that I have to put together a new grid. Obviously, one would probably prefer to have more local programming than not. We had to be able to make a transition over a weekend so that the programming which had been occupied by paid staff would be instantly replaced by well-produced, ready-to-play, general interest, public affairs programming that you could simply hit play and have it ready to go. We have that programming elsewhere in the network already produced, and I started working sometime in advance in discussion with some of those shows to see to it that they would be ready. In terms of other local programming, it's not just a matter of, you know, negotiating with the union and volunteers in certain slots, that sort of thing, but just on a practical perspective, the nurturance of new programming and the fact that most new programming needs some sort of resources, training, or something to make it work, and we weren't in a position to be able to experiment in that way and try to figure out how to put new programming on there. We had to be able to put something on immediately that would fill the space. I anticipate that we will continue to have programming changes, probably a series of them over time moving forward, just as we may continue to have staff and management changes. This is an evolving restructuring situation at this station. You know, it was $900,000 worth of payroll that was reduced last week. And so that's the basic first answer, though, to that question, is that I had to put things up that were ready to go and could fill the space effectively without needing any additional support or nurturance, but simply being able to put it up on the air and have it work. So I imagine some of that will, as I said, continue to evolve as we go forward. And I will continue to work closely with the union in terms of seeing to it that the changes that we make are in conformity with the collective bargaining agreement and do not result in unnecessary grievances.
I had a question, but my phone was on mute.
Sorry, Summer, we have 1 minute your report.
Okay, so I'm going to go to...
I move that we extend 15 minutes.
May I ask a question?
You began at 10:34.
Yes, so that we can, those of us, the many of us who are working on the WBAI sustainability plan, so that we can go forward in any way towards knowing what our budget is, we would like to have, I think we've already asked for it, a list of who the current employees actually are. There's been all sorts of rumors. There's never been a public list or a private list of who remains and what their salaries are. And I think this is okay for a public session. Has there been some official understanding between you and SAG-AFTRA about have you completed negotiations on severance pay, or is this yet to be decided? And at what point can people expect to be receiving such pay?
Sure.
Summer, we're going to have a vote to extend the session. We've already done the 15 minutes.
I seconded it.
So, Benito, I have a motion to extend 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Was there a second?
And I seconded it, Hinchel.
Okay, thank you. Is there an objection to that?
So my questions are on the floor, and I look forward
to
a vote.
Hold on, Janet. Yes, thank you.
And Madam Chair, was Benito through? And then I want to be on the
No,
Well,
no, he wanted to come back around. He had two other questions he wanted to have answered.
May I be on the stack? This is Lydia. Thank you.
If we get through continuing the time period, is there any objection to continuing 15 minutes?
No.
Okay, no. Thank you. Okay, and there was someone on after Janet and before Lydia. It was another woman. I'm sorry. Who was that? Who was on?
This is Hinchel. This is Hinchel. I'm also new to host.
Heather, Summer. This is Margie. You had called on me initially.
You were the next person. Thank you. After Janet. Thank you. So,
and Serene, can you hear me?
Hi, Serene. Okay, so let me just run through the stack. Okay, so it's going to be, I'm going to answer Janet's questions, and then we've got Margie, Lydia, Nancy, Serene, and Benito for a second bite. And I'll ask everyone, please, stick to the timekeeper 2 minutes, since Benito didn't get to ask all his questions, so you may not either, and I'll try to be more concise. So, Janet, to answer your question, yes, we can share that list internally, certainly with the BAI directors as to who remains on staff. I'm still making some adjustments in terms of hours, dealing with ops, dealing just with practical realities in terms of,
right.
you know, of time, and I think there's going to be some more adjustment there because I'm just, you know, I have to make it work. The where people are assigned to flip switches on, and, you know, I mean, literally to keep the station running, we're still fine-tuning some of that as we speak. And I'm sorry, Janet, what was the second part of your question?
The question was what the salaries were, and even with the fine-tuning within a range of, you know,
Sure.
Hours.
Have you reached
any kind of understanding with SAG-AFTRA or completed any negotiation with regard to severance pay, and how long do people have to wait before they get paid any of their severance?
Sure. Where we're at is SAG-AFTRA and I have been in regular communication. We have just supplied them with the vacation accrual numbers, which, you know, we will see if there's any disputation between individual employees and the vacation numbers that we have. Because that's the very first obligation to pay out. And that, you know, is a significant number for an organization that is where we're at right now.
Vacation pay? Excuse me.
Vacation pay is a significant number, and severance is a much larger number.
Yes.
And we have not yet worked that out yet with SAG-AFTRA. I'm basically supplying them with data at this point, and my desire is to lessen the impact on certain employees facing critical situations may have to be modified by what's allowable. So we're negotiating with SAG-AFTRA over when medical benefits will continue to end for the employees. So we are far from being concluded with the negotiations on this in terms of when people will receive their severance. Again, we're dealing with a station that doesn't have any money, hasn't yet paid the August transmitter rent, hasn't paid the back rent on Silverstein's properties, and doesn't know where its payroll is coming from next week for the remaining employees. So we are still in a very critical situation, and nothing's changed too much in terms of that criticality from a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Obviously, with completion of the audit, we hope that the release of this is, again, a smaller disbursement of CPB funds because they gave us the majority of the funds in December, but it will still give some breathing room to the network. First, we have to agree on the numbers with SAG-AFTRA, that the amounts are that we're in some concurrence over them, and then we can figure out the structured payout of the severance. We're talking about $250,000 in severance.
And in vacation pay, just because people who've been laid off can't accept unemployment insurance if they're getting any vacation pay. So it would hold up their unemployment insurance.
No, nothing's holding up their unemployment. I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning the night before the union negotiation so I could tell people exactly what their unemployment rights were, and then I sent out a memo before I left New York making sure that they knew where to apply, how to apply. What's clear is I can't keep people on salary. You can't pay severance out as a continuation of salary and benefits, and they can't apply for unemployment. But by paying it out over time, they can, and we will work with the union and are continuing to do so to make sure that the employees are able to derive the greatest benefit possible under circumstances, and hopefully I can give you more of a report, I imagine, by 2 weeks from now, hopefully that part of things will be concluded.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Margie?
I was going to ask about the I'm covered.
That's fine. I wanted to know about the what was going on with SAG-AFTRA. So that's fine. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Lydia.
Yes, Lydia?
Yes, so following up on what Benito had raised, kind of, in terms of the paid staff who were programmers, have they, and did local programming, were they given the option of staying on air as volunteers?
Those staff members that also had volunteer shows, those shows were not affected because there are several staff members that are paid to do one job but also have a program on the air for which they are not compensated. So those were not in any way changed. There was nothing discussed nor raised at any of the several union meetings on the part of the union or any of the affected staff that they wish to continue to work at the same jobs for which they had been paid for free, and I'm not sure that there wouldn't be a labor issue involved with that. So it was not requested of me nor raised at any point in the negotiation, so I did not presume to ask if people would choose to continue working for free, doing the same exact jobs that had been their union jobs, because I think that could be problematic from a union perspective. And no one has approached me asking to do the same jobs for which they had been paid for free.
Including paid programmers.
I'm speaking of paid programmers. I would like to continue my show without pay, and there's been no discussion of that from on the part of any programmer or nor myself.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Nancy? Henschel?
Yes, I want to know where we are with the Secretary of the State and with our legal counsel.
Sure. You mean in terms of our corporate name and the corporate status?
Correct.
Is that what you're...
That's correct.
Okay. All that's fine. Has been fine for several months now. We successfully did a corporate name change, I want to say, in March while I was still in New York. And all of the paperwork was filed with the Secretary of State. We've received
Wait. I understand that. I want to know, are we getting our name back from the person that took it, and where
that's a slightly different question. I mean, in terms of our legal status, all of that is fully operational. We received a tax, exemption letter under the new corporate name, Pacifica Foundation Radio.
We got that information. That's not something I'm missing. What I'm missing is what is our status with the Secretary of State in getting our old name back?
Thank you, Nancy. Now, I understand your question, but it's not a status issue with the Secretary of State regarding the old name. That's a legal issue. They're two totally separate things. That's why I was just clarifying.
The
Secretary is fine with where we're at now. In terms of retrieving our old name, the same law firm is still pursuing a fairly non-responsive law firm that is representing the organization that took our name and during last communication had sent follow-up to them threatening further legal action if they did not respond to give back the name. And I haven't checked in with them, to be perfectly honest, because I've been knee-deep in New York and CPB. But that's sort of going on as a parallel thing at the moment with the law firm we retained going after the law firm that the organization that took our name retained and has not yet progressed to the next step. So it's still going on but hasn't been resolved yet. And I will see if I can get an update for you that's maybe a little more informative by our next meeting in 2 weeks, okay, and see if they have nudged them any further, gotten anything further out of them since their last communication with me, okay?
Thanks.
Serene?
Okay, thanks. So I have this really strong preference to written reports, as you know, so I'm going to raise again that I wish you would send us written reports and would send it ahead of the meeting, and that I do not find your response that you do as much as your predecessors have done in that regard. I don't really find that an acceptable measurement.
I'm sorry. Is there a question here, Serene? I am so tired of this. I went through this on Tuesday, okay? Is there something I needed to give a written report on in anything I have just said in the last 15, 20 minutes? Is there something you're voting on tonight? Give a written report on tonight about this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you never interrupt people when they're speaking.
I'm wondering why this is an issue on this particular report this evening.
It's an issue on every report. For example, I believe I heard you say, I think the report should be written, and I don't think that the standard that your predecessors didn't do it as often, you know, as we seem to want you to do. We've done one month. I don't think that that's convincing, because I have heard you on air criticize your predecessors for what they haven't done. So I don't understand why sometimes it's okay to criticize them and other times it's okay to compare yourself to them and say, well, you know, I'm not doing
it. Let me correct. I didn't compare myself to my predecessors. I compared the hounding that I received from this board to the lack of hounding that other people have received over this issue. But please, if you have a question, do ask.
Yeah, I really think it's unfortunate that you're sort of like setting up a case for yourself by using the term hounding. I think that's inappropriate. As either
Madam Chair, could we please have Heather Gray chair this meeting while you give the report so people can be called out of order if they are attacking you while you're giving your report rather than asking questions?
Point of order.
I actually had the exact same thought myself. I was going to say, since this is the point in this evening's proceedings, where we will go on and on about written reports and me, I would like you to chair from here on out, Heather. I'm just so burnt out.
Point of order, please. Madam Chair, Carolyn Burton.
We only have 4 minutes left in the session. So do you have a question, Serene, that you'd like to ask the IED?
As I was saying several interruptions ago, and it is always appropriate for someone who's being questioned to not also chair the meeting. That's the problem with wearing many hats. But I believe I heard you say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the audit committee has to approve the audit before it's submitted?
Yes, that's nonprofit law, Serene.
Okay. And when do you expect that that will be completed? Because I thought it was due on the 15th to the CPB.
It was due several months ago to the CPB. Actually, I think we're all aware that well past due and our past due date has gone. They finished the draft audit on the 15th. The audit committee is set for Tuesday, the 27th. It has been distributed to them last week. I've communicated with the audit committee chair myself, and I anticipate that hopefully it will be approved at that time.
Okay, so what is the extension that the CPB has given us, or have we exceeded every grace period?
The CPB hasn't granted additional extensions. We are just way over the line. I sent an extensive narrative to them as to why this audit has taken so very long to complete.
Okay, I'm still not getting a date as to when it will get when you anticipate it would get to them at this point. Is that Wednesday or Thursday? I mean, is it immediately after the audit committee, assuming they approve it?
I'm sorry?
Are you assuming that the audit committee will be able to approve it on Tuesday, you say, and then it will get to the CPB by the end of next week? I mean, just what date do you think?
Yes, that is the hope. My communication with CPB is that as soon as it is approved, that we can file it and that we will do the AFRs within the next, couple of days. So, yes, the audit committee meeting is on Tuesday, I believe, and I would say that, yes, we would anticipate filing everything necessary with CPB by the end of the week.
Okay, and can I ask that you forward to the board, or at least I'm interested, some others are, the copy, whatever you sent to the audit committee, so that those of us who wish to listen to the call can follow it, and also what you sent to the CPB by way of explanation. It's just a matter of forwarding an email, not creating a report.
I'm happy to send what I sent to CPB. They were grateful for a thorough narrative, and I'm sure that the CFO will be more than happy to send the board a copy of the draft audit.
Thanks.
Do we have other people on the stack? I'm sorry, Summer, I don't. We only have about 1 minute left in the session, so.
We have Carolyn Burton, a point of order.
Benito had wanted to ask another question.
And Benito, okay, so we're going to have to probably extend this session. We have 1 minute left.
This is Teresa.
So,
I move that we are we talking about a set, just the adding time to the IED's report.
Right.
I move that we add 5 minutes to the IED report.
Is there an objection?
Is there a second to this?
I second, but I had a question.
Is there an objection? Any objections to extending for 5 minutes? All right, no objections. We'll extend 5 minutes. So I think Carolyn comes first. I don't know. Is Carolyn? And then I know Benita's on the list. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, I just had a point of order. I would ask the chair, the acting chair at the moment, or the chair of the board to register for the record an objection to the former speaker's tone and attitude and hostile remarks towards the current chair. I think it's totally out of order and disrespectful, and I'd like it to go on the record that her behavior is really not acceptable from one member to another, much less one member to the chair.
Point of order.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm asking for a ruling from the chair.
Point of order. Point of order.
A ruling from the chair on that. Thank you.
This Margie has a point of order.
No, I'm asking for a ruling of the chair on that issue. Thank you.
Please.
I think behavior of the board and making personal attacks and so forth doesn't help us in the process of accomplishing much of anything. I do think that it was very inappropriate to be doing that. It would be helpful if the board, during this period of the session with the IED, would just ask the questions that they have of the IED so that we can move forward. So thank you. We have another point of order from Margie Wilkinson, I think.
Well, you know, all I want to say is that this meeting has been rampant with people making accusations against others and behaving in ways that are totally inappropriate in board discussions. And so I don't think it doesn't make any sense to me to at this point start picking out particular behaviors to criticize. I think what has to happen is that we have to behave ourselves and that people have to make every effort to be respectful of one another. That's the only way we're going to get
it. That it be universal, you're saying,
yes,
right?
That's right. And that
well, yes, thank you.
And that it should not be, you know, let's not point fingers at one particular person because it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I disagree totally, and I would like the chair to enter my remarks and to make a ruling and to enter it into the motion, into the record,
Carolyn.
Into the minutes. That was
Carolyn.
My remark.
Oh my God.
So as chair of the board, I would say that chairing this session, that whether regardless of who it is, that it's totally inappropriate to be criticizing the IED in this way, because for any number of reasons, making it so incredibly disruptive that we can't move forward and get the business accomplished that we need to get accomplished. So I'm saying that all of the board needs to improve on this in this area of being respectful, as Margie says. So I'm somewhat concurring with what Carolyn said, but it applies to everyone, really. And I'd like to move forward. So that will be noted, I hope, by the secretary.
Well,
but I'd like to move forward because we don't have much time left here. So we have approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds left. Are there any additional questions of the IED?
Yeah, Benito.
Benito, please go ahead.
Yeah, but maybe I have – okay. Maybe more important, I would like to suggest that or move that this session be extended till it's 11:06. Can we extend till 12 o'clock so we can get something done?
I second that.
Are there any objections?
Yeah.
The time now is 11:05. So you're talking about extending the open session for another hour, Benito? Is that
or 55 minutes or whatever.
Okay, did I hear an objection?
I object.
Are there objections?
I won't raise a formal objection. I just wish we wouldn't, but no, I won't make a formal objection.
Okay, so are there any objections then? Any formal objections? All right, if not, we'll move forward. So
also I
have
a question.
All right, we need to know your question, please.
Yeah.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so two quick questions. Number one, with regard to BAI, if Summer could explain what is the level of cooperation and on what between the union and management, if at all, and what can be worked on together is, I guess, what I'm asking. And then with regard to PFW, I would like to ask, where do things stand with regard to the finances? And it's basically, I asked last time, is the staff going to get paid? And so I guess I would ask now, is staff going to get paid the next go around, and for how long? And I asked the question specifically because there seems to be a difference of 360 degrees between what the IED said and what RGM said. And if they're going to get paid, by who are they going to get paid? Is it going to be out of PFW money or Pacifica money?
Okay. Thank you. Well, in terms of WBAI, how do I put this? I mean, I think...
Summer, you're super faint.
I'm sorry. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try. Okay, I'll talk as loud as I can here. In terms of WBAI, in this very difficult situation, you know, the union has a role to play in advocating for staff. Saying that, I feel that we've had cooperative negotiations. I'm doing everything I can from a management perspective to lessen the blow and to work with the union. We have real functional structural problems. Cash flow. We just don't have the money to meet our obligations in as timely a fashion as we should. And that, I think, is the greatest issue right now, because the employees need their severance. They need to be paid, and we don't have this pocket of money. The union is aware of that, and we're working with them. So, quite frankly, I've gotten incredible feedback even from staff members who were just laid off. I mean, much more so than I would expect, frankly, under the circumstances, in terms of people being supportive and saying, you know, if you need anything, feel free to call on me. And I've gotten that from several people who just lost their jobs, and that speaks to the loyalty that people feel to Pacifica and why they're involved with the organization, frankly. So, you know, I mean, the union is required to take an adversarial position on certain things to make sure that we as the employer honor our obligations, but I think it's still relatively cooperative given the dynamics of the situation. As for PFW, I'm going to have to, I mean, we're frankly in a paper chase every 2 weeks with payroll right now. That's why we had the special archives day, was to support their funding. WPFW, with these little mini drives and then the major drive, I'm trying to get a greater feel for how this is being structured right at the moment. We're committed to making sure everyone's payroll gets funded, but I cannot speak right now today without, frankly, sitting down talking with Raul and Tamika and talking with John to see if PFW is going to actually have its own payroll funding or we're going to have to find it elsewhere. I don't have an answer for you tonight, Benito, but we are committed to seeing to it that the staff is paid at the station.
Okay, thank you.
Now, who is next on the stack? I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Are there any more questions of Summer?
I don't think there were. Benito was the last person on stack when I handed the chair to you, Heather.
Okay, thank you. So if there are no more questions of the IED, I'd like to move forward to the CFO report.
I'm sorry, I do have a question. I just didn't want to take up too much time, but since no one else is on stack.
Just one final question, please, Doreen. Go ahead.
Sure, thanks. What is the status of...
What are we going to do?
What is the status of the engineer's report? Janet, you need to mute. What is the status of the engineer's report with regard to that Atlantic Avenue property? Because I know we've already invested, you know, quite a bit of money moving things in and running lines and so on and so forth, have both a structural and a radio, you know, broadcast engineer looked at it and have copies of those studies?
We have some information, and I'm having some more analysis done, and I will provide you copies of everything I have by next week, prior, so there's time for the board to review what's going on with that property prior to our meeting in 2 weeks, okay?
Great, thanks.
All right, thank you. So I'd like to move on to the CFO report. Raul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, thank you.
I had a question to ask anyway. Okay.
I'm sorry, Manisha, you have a question for whom?
For summer.
For summer. Raul, would you hold on a moment? I would like to provide the opportunity for the board members from New York to ask their question. So I'm hoping this is the final one, however. Manisha, go ahead.
Amir, would you please, are you able, I have tried to talk to, call Bertold and left a message to call me because I haven't been around and I don't know what's going on. Would you please tell us who are the people you have maintained and kept and how essential they have been? Thanks.
Without getting into specific names on an open stream, following very closely to the overall structure of the working group's plan, admittedly with some modification to management, the people that have been retained are primarily in the ops department, and that's still where I'm making adjustments in hours. So we retained most board op individuals, people in engineering staff, and everyone who is an on-air personality was laid off. The news department was laid off, and in administration and management, the vast majority of people were laid off. Again, without getting into personnel matters on an open stream, I've retained the same general manager, as you know, and the development director has also been retained at this point. And I can give more detail, obviously, in closed session, but the staff was reduced. I essentially kept a couple of extra people in the ops department because that seemed to be necessary to have full coverage to keep the station on the air. I anticipate making further adjustments in staffing moving forward because this is a work in progress right now.
I just want to make a comment just briefly about this, that for future reference, Summer, if you could, or someone on the board, if you would share information at some point about the CPB or SEC requirements on the staff that need to be in a radio station, actually. So I think there are certain requirements. That's just an
aside. I can actually do that. I can do it right now. It's two,
okay.
Two people are all that are actually legally required. So the fact that we have more staff is, of course, because we're trying to maintain original content programming and et cetera. But from a legal perspective, two is what's currently required.
Thank you. So if we could move on to the CFO report. Raul,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to try and make it brief, but I have a few items that I'm going over with you. First is the audit report. Well, the most recent draft of the audit report has been sent to the audit committee last week for their review, at the same time being reviewed here at the national office. A conference call would probably be conducted by the audit committee, so the Pacifica management and our current audit firm, Armenino, will be answering or addressing any questions or concerns from the audit committee. So that is, I don't know if that's already being scheduled with sometime this next week. So as I heard earlier, I'll be happy to send out a copy to the Pacific National, to the PNB, a copy of that same draft, so that any feedback from you will be greatly appreciated. On the tax returns, the 2012 Form 990 was filed and mailed on August 15, last Thursday. However, the filing will obviously be amended to rectify and address some of Summer Reese's concerns and issues. She had a few questions on the tax returns. In the interest of time, our auditors sent us a the filing copy so that we could make the August, the absolute deadline of August 15th. Since our tax preparers utilize the most recent version of our audited financial statements, there may be some changes in the financial information once we finalize the audit. All of these changes will be incorporated in the amended tax return. The next one is the current year financial statements. We are currently working on the current year financial statements, and hopefully, and it will be done by the end of next week. We are, you know, looking at the records, so we're going through the details and going through the what has been actually done. So it is complete. It's almost like reviewing the whole entire year worth of information that has come and passed by during this year. So we're taking a little bit more time. So, but the deadline would be at the end of August, and we will definitely have financial statements by then. We created some new reports that would probably help in the analysis, and I'm working and currently working with various departments, I mean various stations, to kind of work on the these financial statements. On the IRS audit of 2011, our Form 990 is being, like I said before, are being audited by the IRS. We have retained a tax division of our current audit firm, Armanino, to represent us in the IRS audit for 2011. While the audit firm, Kimberly & Wisdom, prepared our tax returns in 2011, we made a decision to go with Armanino to avoid having to enter another working relationship with Kimberly & Wisdom, who we had concerns about their audit performance on the previous years as well as their tax preparation responsibilities. In addition, Kimberly & Wisdom wanted us to pay them in advance $5,000 retainer for them to represent us in the audit. So we went with the Armanino firm. A partner of the Armanino firm in charge of tax, Lynn Henley, is leading this project and representing us to the IRS. So she is actually our conductor, and she will be talking to the IRS directly and not us. As a result of this, we at the national office, because of the new audit firm doing the 2011, which they did not prepare, we at the national office will have to provide and dig more information for 2011, which is probably additional workload in our department. But we're slowly giving them information as long as you know we find this information we give it to the Armanino to submit to the IRS. On the budgets front, we're just helping out in the review and assisting other stations and working with them in addressing some of their questions on the budget and some information that they need to complete their budget. On our financial condition, obviously the last payroll we covered most of the, we covered the PRA as they are kind of tight with their financial situation as well. BAI, on the other hand, they're somehow reduced payroll for the last August 15 was covered by them. Although the next payroll may show a lesser funding amount, we're still facing some more funding and financial requirements at BAI. And obviously that's a result of the severance, vacation, and some benefits that we are going to be offering the laid-off employees. We're facing some major expected expenses next week. For the audit to be issued, we need to pay the auditors their balance with them, which runs about between $40,000 and $45,000 before they can actually issue an audit report. We're having a little bit of difficulties working, getting some legal confirmation as part of the audit procedure. That's because we owe some law firms a lot of money, and they are unwilling to. They were unwilling initially to send a confirmation to the auditors, but we're trying to work with them and ensure them that once there are some CPB funding, it's a catch-22 for us. We needed to get the audit done so we can get the funding so to pay them. So we're using that kind of reasoning so that they will be a little bit more considerate. So, again, that's kind of like some of the major expenses. And lastly, on the staffing, again, our finance department is down to three staff members and myself. The lead staff accountant has quit again as of last Thursday, August 15th. And so we only have like three people. One of them is a temp agency staff accountant who's actually performing account reconciliation, primarily bank recon for the current year, so we could finish the current year financial statements, ensuring that station business managers are reconciling all of their bank accounts. The second staff is accounts payable clerk, who's in charge of processing bills for the national office and WPFW. And now with the layoff, we will be assuming some of the responsibilities for the accounting at for WBAI. He is also reconciling various general ledger accounts and reporting cash position, cash requirements. The third clerk we have is just doing payroll entries and reconciling payroll bank account and the transfers, also doing reconciliation of various accounts and creating some reports that we needed for the IRS audit as well as the audit report. So that's basically it for me.
All right. Thank you so much, Raul. I'm wondering, do board members have questions of
the CFO?
Yeah,
if there, okay, so we have a few questions. So we have gone, we only have a little over a minute left, so I'm going to ask if someone would entertain a motion to extend some time on this report.
I extend. I thought that we had agreed to extend the meeting till 12
o'clock. Yes, we have. But there are certain time slots for each item on the agenda.
I'm sorry. So
We have 10 minutes for the CFO report, and we have just about a minute left now. So
Benito, I move that we extend 10 more minutes.
Is there a second? Are there any objections? All right, so move. So we will extend this for 10 minutes. So who is on the stack? Lydia.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Lydia and Benito.
And
okay.
Ryan.
So it is just the comment, first of all, is that I have found it to be far more expensive to bring in another firm to defend the figures of a previous auditor. It's not like it hasn't been done. It has, and I have found that it's really a poor practice regardless, but that's a different issue. But anyway, but the my question is, do you have figures yet on how much our PMB meeting in New York costs, including the travel for the CFO candidate?
I think I've seen this information initially, and it cost about $35,000 the last time that you guys had the meeting in late February.
Okay.
It's about $35,000. I mean,
and that included the CFO travel?
Everybody's basically, including the hotel and airfare.
Thank you.
All right. So I think, Benito, you have a question, and then Brian.
Yeah, just simply, Raul, if you could shed any more detail on the payroll situation at PFW, more than what, some already said. And if you can, you can.
Sure. We're now managing the finances of WPFW. We certainly have access to their cash activities, their cash receipts and cash disbursement. We're prioritizing payments in conjunction with the management of WPFW, working with the development director and the general manager on what important vendors we need to pay and prioritize, as well as obviously the telephone lines. We manage it here. We average about $20,000 of payroll for WPFW. And again, as of this morning, they have about $19,000 in the bank. So there should be some more money coming. I anticipate that there would be some. Oh, I'm sorry. $30,000 in the bank. So we anticipate that there's going to be some other important payments to Gary Null and to telephone and tower rental that we needed to like prioritize. So we're trying to, as much as possible, hold off on some non-prioritized vendors to prioritize payroll, to have funding for next week's payroll.
I just want to remind everyone that we are in open session, so to be conscious of that when talking about some of the finances. But go ahead, Benito.
Yeah, just one quick follow-up, and if it's not proper, it's not proper. But I'm wondering, why is Gary Null such a priority above other stuff? I know he comes on, unfortunately, 5 days a week. More than ever before.
Point of information to the chair, please.
Yes, thank you.
Is it proper for us in open session to be talking about specific people by name?
I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this, so I'd like other board members who would chime in on this. I don't think it's appropriate for open session.
Is he an employee?
Pardon me?
No. He's a vendor.
Is he an employee?
No.
No, he's not an employee.
Then it's a public question item.
I'm asking the question of board members what they think of this.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is why, it's a question of priorities, you know, and I would assume that we all agree.
I can answer that in very general terms, Benito.
You have 61 seconds.
Vendors that would impact our operations. Number one, if we don't pay the telephone bills, we will be cut off, and if we don't pay the rental, we'll be cut off in our transmitter, the utilities. So we don't want to do that. And then there are certain vendors that are really important because it's a kind of a catch-22. We need to pay some people so that they can...
You have 31 seconds.
...generate revenue. It's a sad reality, but there are certain times that we needed to prioritize so that we could generate more revenue. Without this, it's probably going to be catastrophic. So that's how we view our priorities.
All right. Thank you so much. I do want to remind everyone, though, when we talk about staff.
It's just mostly information that summaries brought up with some of the information, the number of boards and number of independent boards. It's some of the information are very debatable. We just needed to make sure we back it up with correct information, mostly informational information that we needed to provide in the Form 990. And then at the same time, there's some adjustments after the initial the initial trial balance or the financial statement that we provided to the tax preparer. So there might be some slight information on the information, the figures, in addition to what have the information that needed to be provided to the by summer.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
With regards to the IRS audit, is there anything to your knowledge in playing in the audit that poses a significant potential expense to the foundation?
No,
or is it just a headache for you?
It's just a headache. I don't know if everybody knows that this was apparently this was a result of somebody complaining to the IRS. That's why we were audited. One of the board members, local association board members. I don't know. I cannot name started this, and that's why we were chosen to be audited. Other than a lot of work and a lot of time and effort needed to be devoted on this, I don't think that there's a lot. It's just information they wanted to find out.
Point of order, Madam Chair.